Welcome to Recreate Your Life, Morty Lefko's weekly podcast. Discover how you can transform the quality of your life. Find out simple ways to change and make that change last. Learn how to eliminate limiting beliefs. Discover how to become the person you've always wanted to be and live the life you've always wanted to live. Each week, one of the keys to change is handed to you. This is Recreate Your Life with your host, Morty Lefko.
Hi, this is Morty Lefko with podcast number 9, How Our Language Determines Our Reality. Last week I explained how we live in a dualistic universe, in which for any thing or concept to exist, we must distinguish between it and a not-that-thing or concept. Our most important tool for making distinctions and creating our reality is language. As Edward Sapir, a noted anthropologist, has said, quote, "Human beings do not live in the objective world alone, nor alone in the world of social activity as ordinarily understood, but are very much at the mercy of a particular language which has become the medium of expression for their society. The fact of the matter is that their real world is to a large extent unconsciously built up in the language habits of the group. We see and hear and otherwise experience very largely as we do, because the language habits of our community predispose certain choices of interpretation." Close quote. Language is far more than a tool for communication. The word language comes from logos, which means category or concept. With language, we categorize, distinguish, and create the universe. Ultimately, we perceive the world according to our language. For example, when we think in English, we perceive a world made up primarily of objects, people, trees, and houses. These objects do things or have things done to them, using verbs. We literally see everything in the world in this fashion. We don't perceive things out there because there really are things out there. That just happens to be our worldview, because in our language there is a subject which acts on an object which exists independently of the subject. In the English language, independent entities, subjects and objects, are primary rather than processes or relationships. That is not true in every language. As Ralph Stretch points out in his book, The Reality Illusion, quote, "Some languages are structured around quite different basic word categories and relationships. They project very different pictures of the basic nature of reality as a result. The language of the Nootka Indians in the Pacific Northwest, for example, has only one principal word category. It denotes happenings or events. A verbal form like eventing might better describe this word category, except that such a form doesn't sound right in English with its emphasis on noun forms. We might think of Nootka as composed entirely of verbs, except they take no subjects or objects as English verbs do. The Nootka then," this is important, listen, "perceive the world as a stream of transient events rather than as the collection of more or less permanent objects which we see. Even something which we see clearly as a physical object, like a house, the Nootka perceive of as a long-lived temporal event. The literal English translation of the Nootka concept might be something like housing occurs or it houses." Close quote. In a discussion of this point, Nobel Prize-winning physicist Werner Heisenberg said, quote, "What we are observing is not nature itself, but nature exposed to our method of questioning. And how do we question? All of our methods of interrogating nature depend on language, and it is the very nature of language to refer to things. We therefore think in terms of things. How can we possibly think of non-things, nothings, nothing? In our very forms of thought, we instinctively divide the world into subjects and objects, thinkers and things, mind and matter. This division seems so natural that it's been presumed a basic maxim of objective science." Close quote. A dramatic and sobering example of how language determines the distinctions we make can be found in the specific technical language that's used to describe nuclear weapons and arms control. Carol Kahn, a senior research fellow at the Center for Psychological Studies in the Nuclear Age in Cambridge, Massachusetts, spent a year as a visiting scholar at a defense studies center. She published some of her experiences in the summer 1987 issue of Signs, the Journal of Women in Culture and Society, copyright 1987 by University of Chicago Press, in an article entitled Nuclear Language and How We Learn to Pat the Bomb. She wrote, quote, "The better I became at this discourse of arms control, the more difficult it became to express my own ideas and values. While the language included things I'd never been able to speak about before, it radically excluded others. To pick a bald example, the word peace is not a part of this discourse. As close as one can come to it is strategic stability, a term that refers to a balance of numbers and types of weapon systems, not the political, social, economic, and psychological conditions that peace implies. If I was unable to speak my concerns in this language, more disturbing still was that I also began to find it harder to keep them in my own head. No matter how firm my commitment to staying aware of the bloody reality behind the words, over and over I found that I could not keep human lives as my reference point. I was so involved in the military justifications for not using nuclear weapons as though the moral ones were not enough. What I was actually talking about, the mass incineration of a nuclear attack, was no longer in my head. As I learned to speak this new language, I no longer stood outside the impenetrable wall of techno-strategic language, and once inside, I could no longer see it. I had not only learned to speak a language, I had started to think in it. Its questions became my questions. Its concepts shaped my responses to new ideas." Close quote. So to reduce all this to its simplest possible statement, for us, reality is the way we experience it, which is rarely how it actually is. And our experience of reality is largely a function of our beliefs about reality, how reality occurs for us, and the language we use to describe it. Do you have any comments on how language determines how we perceive reality? Please comment on our blog. These weekly blog posts also exist as podcasts. Sign up for the RSS feed or at iTunes to get your podcast sent to you weekly. And if you haven't yet eliminated at least one of your limiting self-esteem beliefs using the Lefko Belief Process, go to www.recreateyourlife.com where you can eliminate one limiting belief free. Thank you for listening. See you next week.
You've been listening to Recreate Your Life, Morty Lefko's podcast. Subscribe at iTunes or sign up at MortyLefko.com to receive each week's podcast, where you can leave comments about these podcasts. To eliminate one limiting belief free, go to RecreateYourLifeFree.com. And to have your questions answered about how to live your best life, join us on our Facebook page, Recreate Your Life.